Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. That's right. All four of us are here today. Scott, Ricky, and Pam join me, and we recap Marathon Weekend 2022. That's right. We didn't have one last year, so we made up for it this year. We talk about the 5K, the 10K, the half, and the full. We talk about the expo, also staying at Pop Century and Riverside. And we talk about dining at Topolino's Terrace and the Boathouse and some other places, times in the theme parks. So even if you're not one who likes to put on the short shorts and the sneakers, you're going to enjoy today's show. Lots of fun Disney talk to get you through your Friday and into the weekend. Don't forget, today's show is always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. The Magic for Less is a platinum earmarked agency, which means they are the best of the best. And you deserve the best, don't you? Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click means a lot to us. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who support the show each month. Allow us to get all this podcasting done each and every week. It's because of your support we can get this all out there. And our patrons get a bonus show each week called Mike in the Midwest. If you'd like to get in on that, visit patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2023 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and, of course, one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Hope you had a great week. And for all the runners, we hope that you are recovering well from Marathon Weekend 2022. And you know what that means. Princess Racers, you are now up. You're on the clock. It's going to be here before you know it. So get those miles in. Get those costumes created. And get ready to have a great time down at Walt Disney World at the end of February. But today, Scott and I were down there. We ran a lot of miles. And Pam and Ricky know exactly what this is all about because they've been there many, many years. And they were following everything on social media. So we're going to have a good time kind of recapping all the Marathon 2022 stories and all that stuff you want to hear about. So joining me today, we have Ricky from themouseforless.com down in Atlanta, Georgia. Ricky, happy Friday. Welcome to the weekend. What's up?
Happy Friday, and I would just like to say a huge congratulations to all the lizards out there who, you know, got up every morning and either cheered or ran or whatever. I was sitting at home watching because I couldn't go, and I was just so proud. Actually, there were times, you know, where I was here watching some of the footage and stuff like that, and I was literally crying. I mean, I was crying.
Me too. Me too. I was just crying because my foot hurt, but go ahead now.
Right. No, I was crying huge crocodile tears because I was so proud of our lizards. Like, I can't even tell you, like, how proud I was as I was addicted to my social media this weekend, trying to see and cheer on virtually everybody that I possibly could, because this weekend is one of my favorite weekends to be in Walt Disney World, and I hated that I missed it, but it's such an amazing, amazing experience. And so I'm so proud of every single one of you that got out there, and all the lizards. You all are amazing. And I'm just so proud of each and every one of you. So I really did. You can ask Brian. I seriously was just, we stopped and went and got brunch, and I'm sitting there, I drove separate, and I'm sitting there crying big crocodile tears, and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm watching Marathon Weekend. I'm watching runners go across the finish line.
Mike ran a sub 2.5. I'm so happy.
I wasn't so concerned about you were running. I know you can care less about me.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I got to real quick send a shout out to Cheryl. She's in the live chat joining us. First time marathoner. We had lots of first time marathoners, but I'm just calling her out because I see that she's in the live chat as we're recording. And I saw her three different times on Sunday. And we're going to talk about this. It was hotter than smoke on Sunday. Some people, they make it look too easy. Like when I saw Cheryl every time, she's just chilling, just smiling, giving me high fives. I'm like, I know I look a wreck. I know that I'm 6'3 and I'm all over the place when I'm running. I'm just like, you know, just trying to get there. Cheryl just cruising. And so shout out marathoner Cheryl. heading back to Switzerland, I'm sure here soon, but it was just amazing to spend time with her and have a great time out there on the course with her. I like the switchbacks because you got to see each other a couple times on the course. That's kind of fun. All right, also joining us, Pam Forrester up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the greater location, greater area, I don't know what you call it, greater Pittsburgh. Metropolis. I don't know what's
tri-state. It's like tri-state, the tri-state whatever. Area, like everywhere else, right?
I don't know what it is. What's up?
How many tri-states are there, do you think, in America?
I don't know. 20, we're bi-state because we just have Missouri and like the east side, the Illinois.
I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yes, but yeah, it was really great to see. I think, especially after the hiatus, to really see the group come together again. I know that there were so many from our Lizard group that were down there. And I love the stories, how people come to post in the group about how interacting with the group helped them accomplish this. I think that that's really a rarity, especially for an online sort of social media group, right? Usually when you think of online social media group, the adjectives that don't come to mind are supportive.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. It's usually stalker.
They're usually hateful.
Right? Like, I posted and asked about shoelaces and now someone's stalking me.
Yes, exactly.
Or I had an opinion about my car fuel and 8 people unfollowed me.
Oh, I mean, I'm a horrible person for using right. This kind of fuel. Yeah, exactly.
It's just that. But that is one thing that the Lizards group has done so well, is really support each other and encourage each other regardless of what, you know, the individual goals are. And I think that that's something that is really important, is that the group is there to support you in your individual goals, not identify goals that maybe they think you should, you know, be like, you know, you always have that friend or maybe parent who's like, what were your goals this year? Here's a list of things I think you should be working on. You're like, thank you, I think. But no, the Lizards are just really supportive of all the different stages and everything that goes on. So, and the great thing is too, it really is like a family, and it's awesome to get to meet everyone else's family too.
100%.
So, love that.
All right. Also joining us, my brother from another mother, who we've done now we've done 5 dopey challenges together. That's crazy. I can't believe that. We've done a lot.
I've done 4, but.
No, 4. Okay. We've done 4 dopey. Yeah, because I did
you
the,
know the
yeah,
saying. Yeah. I just did the full.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, you only did the full that one time because I only did the full of my first one. Yeah. It's, who cares? We have a
good time
out there in January. That's right. He's a 5-time marathoner. He's Scotty G, the hashtag. What's up, Scott? We are recovered. We're back home. We're just trying to... It's funny. We went 26.2 miles on Sunday, but right now, it's really hard just to walk across the living room to the bathroom. I'm so sore still. So it's crazy.
So I jinxed myself. Our friend Beth asked me like on Saturday, because she was going to join us for dinner. I said, no. She's like, do you need me to bring anything? You know, like pick up anything at Target? Do you need like stuff for blisters? And I kid you not, I said, blisters? I don't ever get blisters. Oh, like, dear. I don't need anything for that. I have the worst blister right now. Like, I cannot walk.
No.
I cannot put any pressure on, like, my right heel. And yeah, as you know, like, the stairs are real. Like, my office I'm working in right now at home is upstairs. So I'm going up and down the stairs all day. It's just been fun. I will say, here in the States this weekend, we have a 3-day weekend with Martin Luther King holiday coming up. And I am thankful for that because I need as much relaxation as I can get.
That's exactly right. All right. So we're going to recap. The ladies are going to jump in as well with some thoughts. But okay, let me just kind of give the initial, like how I thought this was going to go down. Just some thoughts before like we dive into we'll hit the expo, we'll hit the races, stuff like that. Again, we'll cover this stuff again down the line as well, because you can't get it all in one show. But I think kind of the overall theme of Marathon Weekend 2022, of course, we had Wine and Dine back in November, but Marathon is kind of its own special thing. It's like, it's the big one. And it's the one that most people, if you're going to run Disney Weekend, if you're one of those people that does things over and over, most people try to not miss January for Marathon Weekend. And there was kind of a sense of like, we are back. We heard that many times from, you know, the race announcers, John Pelkey and Riley and Carissa and Creed. We'll talk about them because Scott and I have opinions on that. They did a tremendous job this weekend. But I think the overall theme of that was, a lot of us were really unsure over the past 6 months, maybe year, that this was ever going to happen. And I think a lot of folks were kind of maybe undertrained for this weekend, just for the fact that, you would get into a training program and you would have this doubt in the back of your head, like, do I really want to do a 26 mile run or a 24 mile training run? Because so many things in society have just been snatched away at the last minute. Right. So I think a lot of people, and we, you know, a lot of people have battled COVID or have had just so many obstacles with transitions in their employment over the past year. And I think that, you know, training for a marathon was a really difficult thing to do over the past year because of so much uncertainty. And I think that showed for a lot of us, there were a lot more nerves down this year, I think, for 2022 marathon than I've seen in the past. I mean, Scott, do you echo that? Or how did you feel going into the overall feel this weekend?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were, a lot of the common conversation was, man, I'm so excited, but I'm undertrained. Like, you heard the word undertrained by just about everyone in our group. And I think that was because we were so anxious to register for another Run Disney race when, you know, everything that happened in 2020, we're still fighting through that with the pandemic. But when the return of Run Disney was announced, everyone that's ever done a Run Disney race got just so psyched, right? Oh my God, I got to get back down there. You're like, this is a sign that things are getting back to normal. Run Disney's back. So everyone's on there on Tuesday morning doing their registration. And then they probably think, oh no, like, I'm not ready for this.
Yeah, exactly. This is actually like, happening. Yes.
Yeah. You were just so psyched to register. And then come, you know, September, October, you're thinking, oh shoot, I got to do dopey. I got to do full marathon, half marathon, whatever in 3 months. So a lot of people were undertrained, including myself, but yeah, just the excitement, you know, like just, and you're right, there was wine and dine and there was great excitement there, but like, this is the big one, right? Like, this is where you have the full marathon, which we haven't done a full marathon in 2 years down in Walt Disney World. And there was just so much excitement from all the participants and the race announcers and spectators, everyone in the park, just a different type of dynamic this weekend for sure.
All right, so let's hit some talk here for the folks that are not runners and they're like, who cares about tight shorts and short shorts and sneakers and all that stuff? I stayed at Pop Century Resort and I'll say it worked out well. I was solo there. You know, I just went down, you know, met up with all, you're never solo at a race weekend when you're on the Lizards. Trust me, there's hundreds of folks everywhere. But I stayed at Pop Century and it worked out wonderful for me. Access to the Skyliner. I will say the bus service to all the races was, I mean, tremendous. I walked onto a bus every morning. Now, in the past, there have been lines to get on the buses, like the big motor coaches to take you to the start, you know, all the way down from, usually you get on like at the Disney Springs, you know, that last bus stop at Pop Century. And sometimes the line would go all the way down to, you know, say where the Magic Kingdom bus stop is. Not this time. And I went out about 3:20-ish every morning. And basically they just had the buses stacked. You just walked right onto a bus. Boom, you were out of there. So great bus service. The room was awesome. Skyliner access if I wanted to get around. Perfect. I couldn't have been better for me. Scott, I know that you stayed at Riverside and you had some thoughts on the room because you had a room that I didn't even know existed. And I'm a travel agent. You had a king. So you're at Riverside in Alligator Bayou. You had a king room, fifth sleeper, which I thought was interesting because you had a king
third
bed
sleeper.
With a third sleeper, I guess it is. I mean, but you had the pull down and a king, which I thought was interesting.
I thought it was interesting. And, it created a lot of dead space, you know, like I just like walked in and like I had a whole dance floor basically.
You did. You know? There's a lot of dance. It was dance floor. Exactly.
Yep. But you know, we stayed at Riverside and I was excited to stay there because, you know, it's one of the more recent resorts to open. I think it opened October 14th of last year. So I was excited to get back there. And Pam, let me ask you this, just a general question. Like, how often should you power wash a building? No, or I want to know, like, if you're into power washing, how frequently should you power wash?
If it's my house, it's getting done any time that it needs wash.
Okay, I don't know how often you need something washing, but I'm thinking a resort that opened that was shut down for so long that opened October 14th.
Yeah,
should not need to be power washed 3 hours a day during the middle of the day 3 months after it opened. So,
was that what they were doing? They were power washing.
Oh yeah,
constantly power washing. Okay, so I would go to the race. Elizabeth would stand back or cheer or whatever. We'd come back. I'd want to like snooze for a little bit. I'd get out of the shower. Then all of a sudden you hear, and this would happen for like 3 hours nonstop. Okay, it was like it was not relaxing at all, and. And I'm not gonna dive into this. I've had a lot of service issues with for like the last half dozen stays I've had at Walt Disney World. But once again, magic problem issues, couldn't get into the room. Pam, you know, at Riverside and certain buildings, there's not an elevator, and I was up on the top level. Kind of stinks when you carry your luggage all the way up and then you can't get into your room.
We told I have literally thrown a piece of luggage. We talked about that.
We shared that story. We definitely shared that story together. I'm like, pull Steve Forrester.
Yeah. Yep. Mike and I told Elizabeth that, and Elizabeth at first couldn't believe it. Then she was like, oh, this sounds like something Steve may have done or Pam would have done.
No, I've been there. I've done it. It was the middle of summer. We dragged, we had done a cruise and a long stay and dragged all this luggage up there. Walked into the room and the carpet was soaked.
It's because they probably power washed it. They get the water went under the door. That's probably it. I mean, this guy was all about power washing every day.
Literally, yeah, luggage went over the balcony onto the grass below.
That's so great.
It's just like,
so how does the mousekeeping work on that floor? Like, do they just care? Like, you know, like, is there a secret, like, cast member elevator that we don't know about?
Well, I don't think there's an elevator, but I think there's a closet where they keep the cart. So I don't know.
And then they just have to keep running up and down the stairs to restock.
I guess. Yeah.
It just blows my mind that there's not an elevator. It really does.
I know. I agree.
But yeah, I mean, the king room was nice. You know, it's like any other moderate, like, it just wasn't my favorite. We were in Alligator Bayou. My bus service, Mike, was the opposite of yours for the race weekend. I got there out there at the same time as you, and unlike Pop, you know, there's like different stops right at Riverside. We're like on the west side of the resort in Alligator Bayou. And man, I had to wait 15, 20 minutes most morning for a bus. And it made me a little nervous that I was going to miss the race every single morning. But yeah, I mean, I love the resort. French Quarter is easily accessible. So, you know, we went over there one morning and got some beignets. We had a car. We just kind of drove over. So that was really nice. We took the boat, which is one of my favorite rides, you know, the Sasagula boat down to Disney Springs. It was so nice to be back on the Sasagula again. Pam, I think you really enjoy doing that as well.
I do. I think it's awesome, especially to go over to Disney Springs. That means you can have dinner at the Springs, not have to worry about bus transportation or whatever, and it sort of drops you off at that area down by Rainforest Cafe and that area. So I love that. I think that that's such a huge plus for those resorts. I think it's a reason that so many people end up staying there too.
I agree 100%. Anytime I can be like on some kind of water transportation, like sign me
exactly
up. Like, I just love it.
It's better.
Yep, it is better. But Mike, I was talking about the car and I just kind of wanted to hit on one thing. So, you know, the start of this trip for most of us, you know, if we didn't get there by January 1st, Disney's Magical Express had already ended. So I went through getting a rental car. You know, you came with me, Marlessa, a friend of the show, she joined as well. But I'll tell you, I saw a lot of Mirrors Connect vehicles going around. And what's funny, Pam, Ricky, Mike, they're the same vehicles. Like, you could totally see where it said like Walt Disney World, like in the decal was just like removed off of these vehicles.
I'm sure that's how that worked. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, the drivers are wearing the same uniforms for Magical Express.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Mirrors, I'm sure, own those buses to begin with. Right.
Yeah. For sure. So you still saw a lot of those vehicles going around. I had no problem with the rental car. We always go through National. We do the executive aisle. So plenty of cars for us to be had. But I know this will impact some vacations in the future. But Mike, how about you? How did you get back to the airport? Not to jump too far ahead, but did you end up doing a Lyft or an Uber?
So I did an Uber and I just rolled out to, so I didn't know exactly what time to do it. So I used, you know, again, my old knowledge of Disney. I just like went out there. What time would Magical Express pick me up? Because I didn't want to mess with missing my flights with everything that's going on. I had an 11:10 flight home on Monday. And so I was like, well, Magical Express picks me up at usually like 8:10, you know, like it's usually 3 hours before. So I just walked down at like around 8:15, went out to that little, you know, the pickup spot for Ubers, hit that thing. A driver was there within 3 minutes. He got me to the airport in 27 minutes.
Dude, he was
flying, dude. He was, I mean, we were passing people left and right. I mean, but I was like, as long as he doesn't kill me, I'm good. I timed it because I wanted to know for the show, right? I'm like, holy cow, we got there. Of course, I wasn't in a hurry really because I went down there. You know, I was so conservative on the time I ordered the Uber because I didn't know, like, you know, because I was thinking like there's a lot of people on Monday morning, people are going home from the races. I was like, there might not be a lot of Ubers available. Nope, dude. He was actually what he did was he was dropping somebody off from the airport. And so then he picked me up. So he was like making a whole round trip kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, 27 minutes, I was at the airport. I mean, we were flying down the highway, though. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this for anybody that's nervous on highways because this dude was flying. But he got me there, dropped me off. And it was real nice because, you know, they drop you off right at the place where you check your luggage, you know, instead of having to go right up the escalators and stuff. So yeah, it worked out great. It was $38 and a 20% tip. So
it sounds a good option. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the Mears Connect or other like third party services, but I know a lot of people depended on the Magical Express. I mean, it was a good benefit for sure. But, you know, there's rental cars, there's, you know, Ubers and Lyfts and ride shares like that. So plenty of options to be had.
Let's talk real quick, though, about for run weekend specifically. We made a grocery store run because you had the minivan. We were out there. We were starving. Of course, we're always starving at Walt Disney World. So we were off property. We grabbed Chick-fil-A. We noticed that next door there was a 7-Eleven, so the Powerball was what, like $600 million or something?
So, Mike, and you teased about Publix, but Mike did the first thing, of the first time in his life, because I told him, like, hey, man, the Powerball is like $600 million. Like let's get – I want to be part of a headline that says, Michigan man wins Florida man's lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, right? Yeah.
So Mike actually bought a lottery ticket. I bought a lottery ticket too, and we're still here recording the Be Our Guest podcast.
Yes,
so that tells you how we did.
Hey, you'd still be recording anyway. I'm just saying.
I would, but I mean, the upgrade plan is still on my screen. I haven't even upgraded our like plan here. We're on the basics. So
got it.
Yeah, we didn't win.
Yeah. So yeah, we had the Chick-fil-A. We're in like one of those cute little plazas, you know, because I kept saying Mike and Elizabeth kept teasing me because I kept calling it cute because like of the brick. Like roadway and like the plazas looked all fun, but anyway, yes. So then we went to the gas station. And then Mike, what did we do at Publix besides grocery shop?
So we grocery shop because we got, you know, of course I was coming off a wicked stomach bug. I don't know if you guys like I was missing in social. Mike Bankhead, when he saw me, he came up to me and he said, "Dude, I love Mike Bankhead, right? The head job of the Lizards. He takes care of everybody, loves us all." He came up to me and he said, "Mike, I got to talk to you." He's like, "I didn't know if you died or if something major was happening in your life, because I did not see you on social media, and it was college football, like, bowl season. And you were not talking smack." He's like, "So I thought either you died or something."
Him.
Yeah, I did, because I wasn't talking smack on Twitter during college football bowl games. I'm like, "Mike, dude, you don't even know." Paige brought home this wicked stomach bug, and I was just dying for 6 days. I mean, 6 days. I was able to get some work done, but shout out to Ben Lappin. I couldn't even get to my computer for, like, 48 hours. He took care of my guests. It was horrible. I mean, horrible. So I lost 7 pounds that week. I didn't know if I was even going to get to go to marathon weekend at that point. It cleared up like 2 days before. But anyway, so what I needed to get at Publix was I needed like water with electrolytes. So I bought that stuff called Propel. That's what Pam told me to get. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, water and, you know, the electrolytes and stuff. And of course I needed Coke Zero. And I was looking for Uncrustables because I had heard on another like running podcast, they're great for like before your runs in the morning. You get a little peanut butter and jelly and some bread, you know, good to kind of get your body going before a run. Couldn't find Uncrustables anywhere in the Publix, but I did buy Goober, which if you don't know what Goober is, it's a jar that has peanut butter and jelly mixed already. And I bought some Wonder Buns, some honey wheat. Wonder just like hamburger buns. So nice. Every morning I made myself a little Goober sandwich, and that's what I had on the way to the bus. So it was nice. Really tasty. And I also bought some Little Debbie donut sticks just for a treat.
Nicely done.
Yes,
nicely
very well. Done. Yes. So we went there, but the highlight of it was, again, Sandy, that server at Liberty Tree Tavern that we had way back in that August, she raved, and I've seen this on social media, right? It's a social media thing, these pub subs, these Publix sub sandwiches. We weren't even hungry. We had just finished eating at Chick-fil-A. Like, I didn't eat at pubs, and we were eating somewhere nice that night. But we're like, dude, when in Rome? You got to have a pub sub. So we ordered, Liz ordered one up. We stood in the parking lot because these things were falling all apart. They were
I said, we're not taking it into the minivan. Like, right. I don't want to get like stains in this new vehicle or whatever. So we're going to take this like a football game. We're just going to tailgate in the parking lot at Publix and cut this sub into thirds. And well, Elizabeth just took one bite. So me and Mike basically split it. And I thought it was good. It was a good sub.
Yeah, I would totally have these all the time if I had Publix in St. Louis. It was worth the experience. So that was a great way to kind of have a new. I think somebody said I now have Florida residency because I think it was Joe Laszlo since I've had a pub sub. So there you go. Chicken tenders were rocking. So we did that and we got back to the hotel. So we don't go too long on these things. So let's talk Expo. So Scott, thoughts on the Expo? We kind of talked about this on Wednesday. Light on merch. I mean, but I mean, pretty well run, I would say. It wasn't crazy.
Yep. I don't like to get the ride when it starts. I heard stories about 2-hour waits to get Expo merchandise. I was happy to see, though, they still had like those new limits that you kind of see like outside of the Expo, like the 2 per person. So that made me feel a little bit better that you didn't have like eBay hoarders, you know, going after mm-hmm. stuff, which they probably still were trying to find workarounds and ways to do that. But I heard a lot of disappointments in finding merchandise. There was like the weekend jacket. It was like this blue and white jacket that I really wanted when I saw like the social media post by Disney. Those were all gone when we got there. But Mike, I think you and I, like, I mean, we have some unique sizes. Like, you know, I wear the big man size, the big guy size, and I was able to find the jackets that I wanted. Basically there was like smalls and extra smalls and like double XLs were like the only stuff that you could really find when we got there later in the day.
Yeah, and the colors are kind of, you know, I guess they're supposed to match the colors of the shirts, like for the distances. So they're kind of interesting. But yeah, I got the I Did It jacket again. We both talk about this. We didn't even dare try it on, you know, before you just don't do that. So it hung up at the hotel until after Sunday. But yeah, we're wearing those now. So we're proud that we finished the dopey. But yeah, I mean, the merchandise, it was fine. It was just light, but people were disappointed that they missed out on stuff. I did have one of our listeners I talked to at the expo, Michelle, I think, she had a simple suggestion. Maybe you make the Run Disney, like, because you have like the general merchandise, like the running stuff, like in the expo, that's over in a different building. But you have in the what's called the arena, which is where all the cheerleading and dance stuff happens at other times of the year. That's where they put all the Run Disney merch that everybody's like hot and heavy for. Like, you know, these pullovers, the ornaments, stuff. One thing that was unique, they had like signs, like these big, like 6-foot long signs you could buy for the distances. I think they just printed too many and they wanted to get rid of them. But they were cool. I'd love to brought one home. My wife would have killed me. But here's the thing. She had a suggestion that maybe for the Run Disney like merchandise, maybe you have to have a bib to get in. Because that way you're invested. At least you've paid money for a race. And that way it keeps kind of the eBay scalpers out. Maybe. I don't know. We got there at 1 o'clock and I mean, it looked like a hurricane had hit the place and it had only been open for like 3 hours. I mean, it was tore up. I just got this one.
But everything else has stayed the same. You know, it's an event to go over there. You got it. There's potentially 3 different areas you're going to, you know, you got to go to get where you get your bib and then they send you off to where the vendors are, and that's where you got to get your shirt. And then if you want to go to the Run Disney specific, you got to go to another arena. And I've shared this before, and I know why Disney wants you to go down there. They want you to spend money on the vendors, but I feel as an on-site guest, it would be so awesome if you just checked into your hotel and they had all that just sitting in your room so that I wouldn't have to go.
You could order ahead of time.
Yeah, I would pay a fee, right, Pam? Like I would
I'd
pay $10 per race or $15 per race to have like my bib and then my shirt just sitting in my on-site resort room, you know? But
that'd be
because that saves time, right? It saves time off my feet having to walk around the expo too, you know? So
yeah, I think that would be that'd be hugely fun. I mean, you could charge a huge premium to have like your bib bag, everything, your goodies just sitting on your bed in your room when you got there, or just like you go down to the hotel, you know, and they just go in the back. Sometimes you get like magical extras and they just have them in that back room at check-in. Like, oh, sir, hang on 1 second. You always think it's going to be something really cool. Like, yes, what are they going back there to get? And it's like, oh, yeah, you got some pop-up passes. You know, it's like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, they could do that. But I think the thing is that the vendors, they want the vendors, they need the traffic. And that's why they're paying premium to be there. But the expos, I mean, it is what it is. A little light. But, I mean, everything this year is weird on supplies. Okay, so let's talk about the races. So 5, 10, half full, so we can kind of, you know, we don't want to break them all down. We can go with 5. The 5 was probably the coldest of the 4 mornings, and is relative. The weather was awesome this year. I will say probably the best weather for the entire weekend that we've had in the last, I would say, 6, 7 years. Would you agree? I mean, I thought the weather was nice.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Okay, so 5. Yep. What do you remember from the 5? I overdressed. I know that.
No, the 5 was good. Pam, you had me cracking up because like I'm kind of unique. I have a unique personality. I don't wear like typical run shirts when I go running. I just throw on a golf polo. I go down here just to have fun. You know, I'm not like a super duper athlete. So I wear golf polos. And I was trying to dress kind of like the characters to the race. So I had like this Pluto thing going on. And Pam commented to me like, looking a little preppy there today, Scott.
You did. You looked like you were going to go out and hit some balls on the, on the course. You did. You were going to like step off the 5K course and onto the golf course.
That was the plan, right? So that I actually wore like a sweatshirt that day, Mike, for the 5K and just kept it on the whole time.
Yeah, but you had a collar you could have popped.
But yeah, so the 5K was good. If I recall, the course was a little different, right? Because we went out of like, because we went by Ratatouille in the 5K, didn't we? Or no?
Yeah, we did, because I didn't know which way to go. Because this year the weather was awesome. And my personality, I have something wrong with my brain. Like, I'm super competitive. I mean, I've tried to shake it my whole life, but like, I just get like my juices get fired up when I get in an environment like this. And so all four races, I told myself, I'm just going to slow down and have fun. Nope. I tried to run pretty fast on all four of them. I shouldn't have, but I did. And so I was cooking by this point, cause this was towards the end of the 5K, and always you just run through World Showcase, right? I mean, you go through, you know, you hit, you know, Japan and then Morocco, and you go, you know, over the bridge by France. Nope. All of a sudden there's this wicked like 90 degree left turn in Morocco where you go backstage, but all these people were still going straight because there was a photo op there too, but they had those yellow cones. And for part of me, I didn't know which, I almost locked up. I didn't know which way to go. Like, I know the cones are there, but there's a lot of people going straight. That's how we always go. Do I go left? And so I just followed the majority of the people that went left, and that's what we did. But they took us back through, you know, the newly renovated France, which I thought was awesome. You know, you got to see all the awesome stuff.
So another thing that was awesome, because every race touched Epcot, obviously, at some point. Like, that's how Marathon Weekend works. They all start there and end there. But they had, like, they had the harmonious, like, barges, like with signs, like, you know, saying, like, if it was the 5K, it would say, welcome runners to the Walt Disney World 5K, and then 10K they had, like a sign saying the 10K on the barges. And I thought that was a pretty neat touch, Mike. How about you?
Yeah. And they had the water fountains going. It was very cool looking. It was a very nice feature. So yeah, the 5K was awesome. Really good race to kind of get everybody kicked off. I did wear too many clothes. Like I said, by the end of the 5K, I was just sweating. But again, it's like, you got to get that first race in to kind of decide what you're going to wear. 10K day. This was the Oswald. I will say too, overall, the medals, they killed it this year. These were the best medals. One of the best years from medals. Weekend.
Yeah. The Pluto one, actually, I think the 5K actually is my favorite from the weekend. That Pluto medal is so darn cute. And when you turn it over, it says, Mike, you discovered this, so why don't you share what it, because I didn't even know it noticed about this until you told me.
Yeah, so I was sitting there having breakfast after the race down at Pop Century, and I took this picture. You can find it on my Instagram with like the medal hanging there over just the bounty platter, which I love. And I flipped it over, and I was like, what's that? And it says, if lost, please return to Mickey Mouse or something, like, you know, if lost, the property of Mickey Mouse, like, you know, like a dog tag would be. And this for Pluto. Very cool.
That's cool.
That's a great medal. Yeah. So 10K Oswald, we went, because so obviously we double it up on this day. And Scott, talk about this course and what you thought about this run.
So this is not your normal Walt Disney World Marathon 10K, where you would, you know, you kind of start at Epcot, you run out through the entrance, and then you come back, go up that big hill, then you enter, like, through Test Track, go around World Showcase. You actually went through two parks on this 10K. It was very similar to Wine and Dines, except you started at Epcot, but we did touch Hollywood Studios. We didn't go up that giant hill that we would normally go through.
Amen. Yeah. Talk about that last night. Go ahead, though. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, so we didn't have to go through the giant hill to get up over Tower of Terror, so that was nice. But yeah, we touched two parks. I thought the weather was great for the 10K as well. And Mike, you know, I got to give a shout out to our friend Beth, who crushed her first 10K. That was her first run Disney race, was the Oswald 10K, and she crushed it. Got it done, got that medal, got the bling. And I know there's a lot of other lizards, you know. I saw, God, I think Mark Herbst and Sophia, like, they dressed as like Prince Charming and Cinderella. Like, I saw a lot of great costumes from our lizards, a lot of them doing their first 10K races that day. And mad props to everyone getting that done. I think the 10K is probably my favorite distance, so that's one of my favorite races to do. And I just loved seeing everyone out there getting it done.
Yeah, we had so many first time like things happen for, we're not gonna be able to hit everybody. I mean, we are so proud of it.
There's so many lizards and so many people we're friends with that we can't say them all, right?
So many first-time 5Kers, 10Kers, full marathons, half marathoners, dopeys, goofies. I will say, though, one of the cool first time things, how about Jared's squad getting on the Run Disney page? That was cool.
Awesome.
That was awesome with the photo pass picture. I was like, they're on the Run Disney
those
page.
Those were great costumes. They truly, truly were.
That crew, I got to run with them during the, there was that day where they had the photo pass ones. I got to run with them on the half. And that was like, that was like a bucket list item for me, man, running with Jared's crew, you know. They are so awesome.
They are. Dude, they roll in with a big pretzel and stuff at the full marathon. Okay, so yeah, 10K was fun. It was really cool. It was very similar to the Wine and Dine 10K. It was a fast course.
I will say, though, so they changed the corrals a little bit. They started this at Wine and Dine. So it used to, God, my gosh, remember when I used to go to like Corral S, like back in the day, like there were so many. Then they started going to like F, and then they started doing these waves within the corrals. And now it's basically the same thing, but they just number them now. Instead of like A, B, C, D, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't know how they create the corrals. I was like in 3 for Wine and Dine, and I was in 5 for Marathon Weekend. It was just like kind of all over the place, but I will tell you, like, they really spaced it out during the 10K. I didn't start the 10K till 6 o'clock in the morning. And the race, the first people went off at, like, 4:55. It was nuts.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, about the corrals, just quick, you know, for the runners, is that I was in S4, and it went to 6. So I was in the back. Again, I don't even know if I put a qualifying time, so that was on me. But the thing is that I don't know. Because you mentioned, like, how we used to have, you know, corrals with letters all the way back to, like, you know, G, H, I, J, K.
Yeah.
But in practicality, I mean, I think there's still as many people all bunched up together. And the course was super congested for the first couple of miles for me anyway. Like, I couldn't, I mean, I was still bunched up, and I don't know. I guess there's a reason for that, but I don't see any big difference in, you know, 5 years ago to this past marathon.
I don't think there's much difference. I thought they were going to do it a little differently, though, because, like, why change it to a number system? But that's basically what I want to get out there, Mike, is that nothing has really changed. They're still doing the waves. It's just through numbers now. I will say, though, masks aren't required in the corrals. I mean, they're required to get on the bus, you know, to get to the race. You know, they won't let you on the bus transportation without the mask because it's indoors. But once you get dropped off, you can take your mask off. But I felt more comfortable wearing my mask in the corrals because I tell you, they just jam you in there. You know, it's no different post-pandemic than it was pre-pandemic. You know, they just jam everyone in there. So based on where you're comfortable, it's not required. But I felt more comfortable wearing it, but not everyone had to. But I just want to throw that out there that they do jam you. There's no separation at all once you get into those corrals.
There's not 6 feet. There's probably not 6 inches.
There's not even 6 inches.
You're in there. Yeah, it was crazy. I will say, too, I want to throw this out there. Shout out to the Run Disney announcers. They, you know, same squad that we've always had. We have John Pelkey, Riley, Carissa, and Creed, and a couple other folks. The lady who speaks a couple of languages. I forget her name.
Oh yeah, she was great.
She
was
awesome. But she's kind of a newer addition to the team. But they do such a great job of passing that, like, 90 minutes from the time you're loaded into the corrals until you actually get out on the course. They not only motivate you, but they recognize different running groups. They recognize your veterans, your first responders.
Yeah.
They pass the time so well.
One of the most impressive things to me, and I'm sorry, I know Pam and Ricky are like, come on, man. Let's talk about, like, dying of the resort.
No, sorry.
But one of the best things for me is, like, it amazes me. So our national anthem is sung usually by, like, a Disney artist during every race weekend. And I always think, like, what time do they get up? Because there's no way they just rolled out of bed and just belt out, like, a beautiful rendition of the national anthem. Like, they must be, like, in some, like, camper, like, close by at, like, 3 a.m, just, like, stretching out their vocal cords, right? Because they just hit it spot on every time. Don't you agree, Mike?
No, especially the full guy. The guy who sang the full. I was getting goosebumps. I mean, you're standing in a parking lot at 4:55 a.m. because they started the full early.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this guy, all four artists were amazing. Like, amazing. But I don't know, maybe if I just was more sensitive because it was the full marathon.
I thought the 10K one was the best one, personally. Like, that guy was just unbelievable.
He was good, too. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was at the half marathon. Again, this is where you go from Epcot to over to the Magic Kingdom and back. Again, it's at kind of that same course. You get to run through the castle on this one, which was a lot of fun. Again, really cool weather. Actually, almost ideal running conditions, which I think got a lot of us in trouble because we were, you know, a lot of folks doing dopey or goofy are going to kick back on the half, save it for the full. But I think a lot of folks just decided to go a little crazy because it was nice. That's what I did. But it was fun. I had a good time on Saturday. So it was a good run. So what did you think about the half?
Yep, half is good. It's the same course as always. It's fun to get out there when you're doing dopey. So I'm going to give a shout out to our Disney Photo Pass cast members. They do a great job capturing photos of you on course. And they were firing them out quick. You know, you get back to your room or get back to the bus and you'd already have photos.
Yeah, that has to be automated. You think that has to be automated at this point, right? There's no way there's a cast member doing it. Because I don't know.
We
have
some Photo Pass friends we might have to reach out to. And
come yeah.
It like, was crazy fast.
I was stunned. Like, yeah, I would go to the bus and you're done with the race. You know, you're kind of tired to get your phone out. Like, oh, let's make an ADR or whatever. You open up the app and then you're like, oh my God, there's a race photo for something I just did an hour ago. But... But what I like about it when you do dopey with the half, if your castle photo wasn't very good, you're like, okay, I'll get another shot.
Exactly, exactly. Mine was better on Saturday than Sunday. Sunday's was terrible.
I think my Sunday one was better. Because on the half, like, because I was doing like these bounding or whatever. Like, I tried to dress as Donald Duck. Pam, I liked your comment on that too. You know, I had the captain's hat that Steve got me. I was wearing on Saturday.
I know.
And
did you play?
And I just like looked at that photo. I looked at my castle. I was like, I look kind of dorky. So I was happy that I got another shot on Sunday. But yeah, the half course is awesome. Cone Alley is crazy. I know there's so many first timers, and I'm sorry, but she calls into the live show all the time on Sunday. So I got to give a big old shout out to Marblessa getting her first Run Disney half marathon done on Saturday. I know we had a lot of first timers. I love you all, but great job getting it done on Saturday for the half marathon. That was awesome.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to Sunday. This is where people were finishing goofy challenges, dopey challenges, just folks that were doing, again, only at Walt Disney World where we say, just doing the full, because doing the full on this hot, hot Sunday was quite the accomplishment. And I know some people had to tap out at different places along the course, and you know what? Let me just say this right now. You know, I've done 8 marathons at this point and lots of half marathons. That day on Sunday was one of the most difficult in the backside of the race. And I ran pretty hard because I knew the conditions were going to be really, really rough once the sun came up. I ran into this in October in the Chicago Marathon. I struggled and it took me forever to recover. For 3 weeks, I wasn't right after Chicago because of the heat and the humidity, and the forecast was exactly the same for this marathon Sunday. So I just went as fast as I could until the sun came up, and then I just kind of hung on. So I know some folks that had a little, you know, some struggles in the back half, like say from miles like 15 on, that course was extremely difficult. And the fact that you were out there and that you would accomplish that many miles on such a tough day, you're amazing. Don't, you know, 26 is an arbitrary number. I mean, it's a distance between two cities way back in Greece, thousands of years ago, you know. It's one thing that we revere kind of as runners, but it really doesn't make a lot of sense anyway. If you pushed yourself and you got X amount of miles in, celebrate that. We're extremely proud of you. And, you know, I couldn't be more proud that you got to that start line and that you made it, you know, downward Cone Alley, through the Magic Kingdom, up that hill by the Contemporary. I mean, it was a hard course on a rough day. Congratulations to those people that made the finish line, but more congratulations, I think, to those people that just attempted it and got as far as your body would take you that day. Because you don't always make it your first time, and there's always going to be another day. And celebrate it. I mean, I know that folks, you know, they wanted to get there, and they just, you know, it was just a rough day. I am extremely proud. So, Scott, we saw that, and it was just, I mean, it was a hard day to be out there. So celebrate what
you got. It was a tough day. I would say the first half of the day felt pretty good. It was when that darn sun came up.
And man, that was it.
Like, I don't understand. I mean, I understand the way the course is laid out, right? But, my gosh, like, When you're in Animal Kingdom, like Western Way, Bear Island area, like in the heat of the sun, is just, there's no shade to be had. And that you could be going strong for 14, 15 miles and that would just ruin you right there. Just like that heat and off the pavement, just pounding off you. It was a tough day. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but there was a balloon lady that even dropped and got swept. Like one of the pacers had to drop out because it was the conditions were tough.
Wow.
They didn't cut the course this year like they did in 2020. I still don't think it was as hot as 2020. It was close, though.
It was close. It was close.
It was getting there. But yeah, big shout out to those, even those that, I mean, I can't really say more than what Mike just said. You know, you got to the starting line. That takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of guts to do that. to wake up at 2 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, whatever time you wake up to get to that start line. Like, I mean, that's being a winner right there for sure. But Sunday was a tough day. You know, I was pacing myself on the slower side. You know, I was very steady all day. I was just, you know, I just want to be like a minute faster than the balloon lady so that, you know, so that I had a buffer, you know, so I was steady with a 15 minute pace most of the day. And then I got to Animal Kingdom and man, it started hitting me. Came across one of our good friends, you know, Scott Nyman, like his knee was kind of hurting. He's like, "Hey Scott, I'm just walking it in from here." And so, you know, I just joined him and was just like a little Sunday stroll from there. You know, we were just chatting, having a good old time. And we just walked our way into the line. Love seeing all the BR Gust cheer squad, like big props to them. I try to give them a shout out on the social media every day, taking selfies with them. Cause that's hard work too, man. Getting up early. They're not moving. They're not running. They're not being entertained like we are. They're just standing there being the entertainment really for us. And I appreciate them very much.
So. 100%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, if you
and
are
those virtual too. Yeah. Bam, Ricky, everyone that was at home sending messages, you know, giving shout outs, man, that goes a long way for sure. I appreciate that so much.
I echo that 1,000% because that it was rough. And by Sunday, we knew it was going to be hard. And that encouragement got us there or got us, you know, as far as we could get. So thank you to that. Sunday was just incredible. I mean, Western Way was just. It was mentally tough. Like, I just remember, I mean, I just knew that because if you're a runner, it was after we left Blizzard Beach, you have this stretch out by Coronado Springs and it is straight as an arrow and the sun was just pounding down and you can see where you're going and, you know, you can see up for, you know, an extremely long way. You know, sometimes it's better to have like blind churn so you don't know exactly where you're going, but you could see how far it was. You could see everybody around you was dragging. They were handing out sponges to cool you down. But that was tough. But then, you know, once you made it to the studios, you kind of picked up. But I will say, so they cut this hill. If you've ever done a Run Disney event, there's this hill that's backstage by Fantasmic. And it's not real long, but it is steep. It is a steep hill. And at the top, you get chocolate. So that's it's mile 20, like 2 or 23 or something on the marathon course. So they had cut this hill on the 10K and the half. And so Scott and I were commenting, like, that was such a great idea. They took us around by Rock and Roller Coaster. It's flat as a pancake. It adds a little bit more time in the studios. You get to go down Sunset Boulevard the entire length. It was great. So I'm thinking, man, somebody was so smart about this. They cut that hill out. Well, dang it, on the full marathon, if we don't come into the studios and they have that hill in the course again, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're putting this hill in on a day where it's blazing hot and we're going 26 miles in the hills here? I was fired up. I'm just saying. I wanted to write a strongly worded letter at that point. And then, so of course, you know, they're like, chocolate at the top of the hill, chocolate, chocolate. Uh-oh. So I'm like, heck yeah, dude, chocolate. At least if I got to climb Mount Everest at the studios here, I'm going to get chocolate at the top. I get up there, Milky Ways with nougat, garbage. I hate nougat. I mean, I'm not trying to be picky, but give me some Hershey's. I just want chocolate. Don't give me no pencil eraser in the middle of chocolate. No, I want this chocolate. Give me a Mr. Good Bar, something with, you know, but you know what? It was mile 23 and I was starving. I ate that sucker.
We're going to eat that nougat.
Here's another thing. Let me just talk about this while I'm on a rant. So you stuff this little mini chocolate bar in your mouth, which you're dehydrated because you've been, it was hot and I've been out there for like 4 hours at this point. Immediately you go around the corner, you're on Sunset Boulevard and there's a photo pass person. So I'm like, I got chocolate all over my teeth. So I'm like, don't smile, but try to look good. So I'm like, in that picture. And then on top of that, you turn the corner, there's a water station, try chugging down Powerade with chocolate in your mouth. It like gives you that electric shock feeling. I should have taken water at that one, but I'm an idiot. I mean, it's just like, come on now. Like, it was like, okay, hill, nougat, photo pass with chocolate all over your teeth, and then you wash it all down with some good sweet Powerade. It was just like, oh, good Lord. And I was just done with the world. It was mile 23. I'm like, I just want to kill somebody at this point. So bring it on. So, Scott, final thoughts on the full. I did enjoy finishing it, though.
One of my favorite parts, one of the most entertaining parts to me is, I mean, you run through Magic Kingdom, you know, or before there's any guests. That's so great. There was a great sign. I don't know if you saw the sign on Main Street. You've probably seen it on social media, at least, where it's like, you run Disney better than Bob Chapek.
Oh, that was sweet. That was awesome.
That guy was on Main Street USA on the pole. But and you went through Animal Kingdom, and there's some day guests there, depending on what time you get there. But for most people, even I think faster guys like you, Mike, There's some day guests at the studios when you get in there, and possibly Epcot. I don't know, maybe not this year for you, but there always is for me because I always start pretty late. I'm kind of on the slower side. But I just love watching the day guests because they are so many of them are so confused.
Like, what's going on? Just trying to get to Rock and Roller Coaster.
But some of them get so angry because, like, you guys know, like they'll hold you in a certain spot, yeah, you know, yeah. And then like once yeah. there's a gap in the marathon course, they'll send like five people across. And I've just seen so many people just like yelling at cast members, which is really rude to do. Just saying like, I got to get over there. I got an ADR or I got to get this blah, 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 whatever
plus,
it is.
I got an individual lightning lane. Cut
and I'm just thinking like, dude, sure, man, go ahead and cut me off, man. I'm at mile 25. I can stop yeah, for you.
Exactly. I can totally stop
I ain't
for
stopping.
You.
So take your chances because I'm going to take you
I'm going to knock. There comes a 280-pound dude coming your way. Like, okay, watch out, bro. But
no,
that's always entertaining for me at the end of the race, just seeing like the day guests, and that's a very small portion that just like sticks out to me. I mean, they're all out there. I mean, they're cheering you on, you know. I mean, who wouldn't do that, right? If you're a day guest and had no idea, like what?
I know. I often think that Disney should explain that better. Like sometimes they leave a note about transportation or something in your room, but like it's not just transportation that's impacted. Right. Like, no. It's going to be, like, craziness at different times. And I just don't understand why they aren't like, hey, here's what's going on, and here's some things you may encounter. I mean, like, set the expectation.
Right.
They could email people before. They know they're coming.
Don't get crazy, Mickey.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I asked
that can't happen,
asked
first of all. No,
much.
No.
Okay, asked too much. Okay, got it.
I know. Oftentimes, so here's a little look behind the curtain. I'll be like, why isn't this being emailed out to like the guests? Oh, we don't have the guest email.
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do.
You do.
How do I sign into my Disney experience?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly.
Some days I sign into it 200 times because each time I sign
exactly.
in, I have to get the code from my...
Phone. Where do you get the code from?
Yeah, it's yeah. email. Yeah, exactly.
Email.
That's awesome. I know, right?
But I know we just talked a lot about the races, but some of the other stuff we did, Mike, too. Like, so I mean, not to overbeat it, but the dining was great. We went to Boathouse. The menu kind of slightly changed at I can't ever pronounce this restaurant. The one at Boardwalk Trattoria.
Forno.
Yeah.
So, like the chicken parm was kind of different. Didn't taste
Doesn't
so good.
Sound like in a good way.
No.
The lasagna was different. I thought the lasagna was awesome.
The lasagna
actually.
Was killer. And it was like a 3D flour looking thing. It was fancy looking, but yeah. God, it tasted good too.
Oh, that's what did... that was. It was lasagna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. And it
okay.
was so good. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So right. they did do a chef change there, but I mean, that worked out good. Grand Floridian Cafe. That was good. No real excitement happened over there. And then Sanaa, you know, we carb loaded with the bread service, you know, right before the full marathon. I don't think I've ever had Sanaa before a full marathon. Kind of could be dangerous, you know.
Yeah, but,
it worked. Right.
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
But hey, it got us through Sunday, man. So that was good.
That's awesome.
Good. Anything else different or, you know, that jumped out to you, Mike, during the race weekend? Anything you wanted to share?
I will just say, and I've said this every year, I think, is that what I really enjoy and one of the reasons that I try to go as hard as I can on Marathon Sunday is that I do like to get my medals, collect my medals and get back into Epcot and watch everybody else finish the race as much as I can. And usually we have a cheer squad set up in Mexico. So like Dave and Eileen Lawrence were there. The Bretzias's came over and we had a whole squad there by after a little bit. And, you know, we do get margaritas for some folks and stuff as we can as folks are coming in. And the thing for me is, again, this gets back to kind of the day guests. And I know day guests are there to, you know, to do Frozen Ever After and ride Soarin' and, you know, see shows and stuff like that at Epcot. But it is so inspiring. I honestly got choked up watching runners come by after I finished the marathon. I didn't cry or anything when I crossed the finish lines. But when I saw some of these folks coming in, I'm talking lizards especially, but even folks I didn't know, that were, you know, fighting it so hard there in World Showcase. And I knew they were like, you know, 0.5 miles from that finish line out in the parking lot at Epcot. It was amazing. And, you know, I got to hug some of our lizards coming in. It was a privilege that they came up and said, you know, Mike, I want to get a selfie, you know, and just the fact that I got to cheer for them coming in and that, you know, we got to kind of share 5 seconds of that 26.2 mile journey, and that I got to be there for that. That was it's so special. And if you're not a runner, here's, you know, what I want to leave you with is, if you ever happen to be down there during a race weekend and you get the opportunity to be in a park or get to watch a race, you don't have to be a runner. I'm telling you what, because I didn't believe this until it actually happened to me. You don't have to be a runner. I'm saying this 100 times. If you just need a little inspiration in your life, go watch one of these finish lines. You know, go up about 0.5 miles, a mile from the finish line, and just watch what people are overcoming, especially on a full marathon. Because that is something that, I mean, takes you to the verge of just wanting to just kill yourself. I mean, it's hard. Like, you want to quit 17 times during that race every time, no matter how many times you've done it. I mean, we have a lot of friends out there that, you know, that are influencers in the Disney community, run Disney, like, does stuff with them. I saw on social media a lot of folks that I know that have done many, many marathons that struggled this past Sunday. They got there, but I mean, they struggled hard, but they overcame. But just go watch and cheer and just see the tears. I mean, you see people just crying because they're going to get there, but man, they fought it the whole time. So if you're not a runner, go watch a finish. And again, I got as much out of getting to have that 5 second interaction with some of our lizards coming in than I did crossing the finish line for my 26.2. So I thank everybody who stopped and said, "Hey, Mike," and just allowed me to cheer, because that was amazing. I love cheering. And, you know, I like
running entertaining. Race, like, yeah, the costumes that people wear, like, are just like, it just blows me away. I know we can't give shout outs to everyone, but like, he plays a big role with the lizards, right, Mike? And that's Joe.
Oh yeah.
And my man was like a different dad from each scene from the carousel.
He really was. Over the weekend. So funny. It was so amazing what he did.
But But Elizabeth told me when she saw him on Sunday, like, he was like in normal running clothes. So he must
have changed. Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I don't blame him one bit.
Yeah, that. Wasn't he wearing a sweater? Yeah.
For I one know. Of them. Actually, I think he wore the sweater during the half and kept it on the whole time, which is pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
But just to throw it out there, too, we had like our regular, our Saturday lizard meet, too, at the Contemporary. So it was nice meeting a lot of people from there. Joe kind of set that whole thing up. I know there was like lizard dessert parties. It's a busy weekend. I know me and Mike couldn't make it to everything, you know, because there's so many of us now. It's hard to like kind of keep up with all those meetups. But that's what's one awesome thing to see during these race weekends is there's like these subgroups. You know, everyone's kind of build different relationships with other people they've met through the podcast and whatnot. It's just kind of awesome to see them having their own meals together and things like that. And I think that's pretty neat.
And here's real quick, ahead, one other thing I want to throw in here, because kind of piggybacks on what Scott said, is that the amount of folks that came up to Scott and I when we were just like in a theme park hanging out or at a restaurant or just walking through a resort, that came up and said, "Hey, we listen to the podcast. Just want to, you know, say hey." And it was like, I just seriously, when we were recording the show, I'm sitting right now in my studio in my basement in St. Charles, Missouri, in the dead heart of, you know, the United States. I think it's just us four, like, that listen to this show. Honestly,
no, it's true.
Maybe
it's
a few folks that are watching us live on Facebook, and it's not a ton of people. But then, like, so many people came up to us and said, like, "I love the show." Like, complete strangers that I didn't, you know, haven't had any interaction with on social media. So thank you. I mean, it does show that the show does go out there all over the world, and it meant a lot to us. I mean, Scott, you got that a lot too. I mean, like, folks be like, "You Scotty G?" I'm like, "Yeah, see, Scott, now you're getting it." I love it, because it means a lot that you would take the time out of your vacation to say hey.
So there's a person from Lansing that we met at the in the corrals one day, or like in the holding period. And I just got to tell you, if you're listening to the show, send me that friend request on Facebook so I can accept it. Okay. Like, she said that I must've declined it or deleted it. And like, I may not know who she was at the time, but send it again and I will accept it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, go ahead, Ricky. What sorry to say, though, Ricky? Off. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, yes, I agree with you, Mike. First of all, if you ever see any of us in the parks, please stop and say hello. I promise we're not scary people and we're really excited to say hello back. So if you ever see us, please say hello. But the other thing I was going to say is that, you know, a lot of people are nervous about meeting other lizards. Again, this kind of goes back to that. They're nervous about meeting us, or they're nervous about, on these race weekends, meeting other lizards. And, you know, there are some people that have become friends throughout time. You know, we've been doing these races for a long time. And so there are some friendships that have formed. But that's the best thing about the lizards, is that we welcome you in, no matter if this is your first race or you've done this for a while. So please, please, you know, if you see lizards out there,
come say hi to us. Don't be scared and shy. Because I saw a few people say I was a little nervous to come say hi to the lizards. So don't do that either. Just come and say hello. And I promise you, we will welcome you with open arms. So that's kind of my, you know, I know Princess Weekend is coming up here soon. So I just want to throw that out there for those of you who are going to Princess Weekend, who, you know, there'll be a bunch of lizards. So just go up and say hello. I promise they will welcome you with open arms.
All right. And the last thing you might want to know, how do I get to be a part of the lizards? You can be just somebody who likes to cheer us on, you know, likes to be, you know, just kind of watch from a distance, but also be a part of this. You could be somebody who just wants to go on a journey of walking each day and get encouragement. That's how a lot of us started.
Yes.
You might want to, you know, you might have to sign up for a race. There's no qualifications. You just want to be in a supportive group that are Disney fans that are all trying to just get a little bit of fitness. Just drop by Facebook. Just go to Be Our Guest Lizards. And just, it's a closed group because we keep out the spam and all that stuff. But I think there's a couple like silly questions there. You'll know the answers to them. They're very simple. Mike Bankhead's the administrator. He will get to it. It takes him a couple days sometimes, but he will approve you once he finds out you're not a spammer and you have the right answers, which again, you'll have the right answers if you listen to the show, and you'll be a part of the lizards. No problem at all. And we'd
love to shout out to Mike though. Like,
100%. Yes.
I know he's been going through some health issues and man, did he tear up the half marathon. So
It was so good to see him.
And
he had an awesome
lizard leap too.
He did. Tomorrow, yeah, lizard leap was fantastic.
That's not even fair.
Love that guy.
Yeah, I did one once and Scott made a gif of it, so I never leave the ground anymore. It's the ugliest thing ever. I can't jump. It's true what they say. So I can't jump. Anyway, yeah, it was awesome seeing everybody. I mean, there were so many other things we can talk about, and we'll probably get to those, you know, throughout the next weeks and months, just little sub stories. But man, I just got to say, thanks to everybody who is a part of this podcast community. I mean,
yes,
it's so much more fun to go down there and just have friends everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. It's amazing. Like, not only just like we have, you know, we meet up before the races and, you know, in the meetup area before we walk over to the corrals, but throughout the course, you know, every race, somebody's like, go lizards, you know, or Mike, you know, because we have our bib, you know, our names on our bibs, or, you know, at the, you know, walking through the Riviera, going up to Topolino's, hey, Mike, what's going on? Good race today. High five. And, you know, it doesn't matter. This community has spread and it's all about positivity. It's amazing. And it's made just my whole, not my Disney experience, I'm not an app, but my whole experience when it comes to Walt Disney World, it has moved so much more away from attractions and restaurants and shows to relationships. You know, I go down there because, like, that's where I see Scott and his family. That's where I see all my other friends, you know, and that's really what it's all about. And it's because of folks. It's because of weekends like this. My heart's full right now. My legs are killing me, and I got a wicked blister on my right toe, but right big toe. But hey, it's worth it. I think it'll stay attached. We'll find out in the next couple of days. So that was a good time. All right. Well, hey, we're going to duck out of here. We went really, really long into Friday, but hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back again on Monday with a great trip report. But again, join the lizards. Come on over. Princess is coming up. Princess runners, you are now on the clock. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Drop on in. We'd love to help you plan that next Disney vacation, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney. Just drop by themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons who allow us to put all this stuff together. And our patrons get a bonus show called Mike in the Midwest. Just drop on in, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. You can check out all Scott's epic photos over on Instagram, especially at Epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T, also over on Twitter. Ricky's at Ricky Nibs, R-I-K-K-I-N-I-B-S. Pam's at T-M-F-L-T, Pam. And you can check out my many, many photos at Be Our Guest Mike on Instagram and Twitter. Also, subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube so you get a notification every time we go live. And please, if you don't mind, give us a rating and a review wherever you grab the show. That would mean a ton to us. All right, time to get out of here. We're supposed to get snow this weekend, so I got to rush out and get bread and milk. And that stuff's so dumb. I have a 4x4 Jeep. Who cares? Like, I could drive through that. Why do we do that anymore? Is this 1812? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care. So pray for me that 2 inches of snow.
It's because the store closes, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Don't joke, man. The store could close at any point. It wouldn't be for snow. It's just like, we're closed.
People are living on the edge with toilet paper. Like, yes. They're just this far away from being completely out.
The Starbucks by my house that's open 7 days a week has 7 different hours.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I don't know how you keep track of it.
If Mickey ears at Walt Disney World can disappear, dude, anything's fair game at this point. Grab it if you got it. Just saying. All right, we're going to get out of here. So for Ricky, Pam, and Scott, I'm Mike wishing you a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.